The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When science cracked the genetic code, it was a historic breakthrough. It revealed the basic building block of life. Now, more people are getting their DNA analyzed for health reasons in the comfort of their own home. As genetic testing has gotten easier, faster, and more affordable, it has become a multi-million dollar industry, with many companies aggressively marketing convenient, inexpensive tests directly to consumers. But what are you supposed to do with all of that information? Is it reliable? What are you looking for? And who can we turn to when we get surprising results that can throw us all for a major loop? Have you been tested? Have you gotten one of those tests? What kind of results did you get? Were you surprised? Call in. Many ways for you to join our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. You can email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. And again, the number to call in is 210-614-8980. Call and tell us your story about your home DNA test. With us this afternoon, we've got Bonnie Petrie. She's the bioscience and medical reporter for Texas Public Radio. Bonnie, great to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Katie Stoll is a genetic counselor, executive director of the nonprofit Genetic Support Foundation, and Dr. Jason Morrow, physician and bioethicist at the UT Health San Antonio and a medical director for palliative care inpatient consultation at University Health System. Welcome all of you this afternoon. Bonnie Petrie, I know that you have done this test yourself, and you've actually worked with people, helped them take these tests and analyze these results.
Yeah.
What's going on here? This is a not, I would say it's almost like a fad.
Yeah. It's definitely seen an uptick in at least a year, recent years, where almost everybody's doing it.
So. And what are they looking for?
Well, I think for a lot of people, they just, it's fun when you're American. It's not an ethnicity like if you're from Europe and you're French or you're British or you're German. In America, you could be anything. You could be everything. And Americans kind of want to know what that is.
So these are people looking to find out more about their ethnic basic building blocks.
I think that's where it starts. And then, of course, once you've done the test, there's a lot more information available.
And you can find out family members.
Right.
Maybe the family that you have isn't the one that you really have.
Right.
So yeah. Some prizes out there.
Sure, for sure. I've worked with several people. They're called unknown parentage cases, and some of them are adopted, so they know out of the gate that their parents aren't their biological parents. But some, they suspect or perhaps know that one of their biological parents isn't, and they want confirmation, and they want to know who they are, which is what it comes down to for so many people.
We know that there's also a lot of medical reasons why you would want to know who your actual parents are.
For sure.
And then these tests will also look into your medical, tell you a little bit more about your medical background.
Absolutely, yeah. So you can get a lot of genetic information from 23andMe in particular. That's its thing. Every company tries to make its own brand, and that's 23andMe's brand. Of course, they're now making a bunch of money off that brand, but that's a whole nother conversation that we'll probably have.
Nothing wrong with making money.
But other people, once you take one of these tests, you can access your raw DNA, your genome, and download it. I was showing people earlier, right on my desktop is my genome in a zip file, and you can upload it to any number of free sites that claim to give you that genetic information. Of course, the risk is they tell you about mutations you may have, but give you no other information, or very little, or very general information with which to work.
So, but when something is free, That means that they're making money somehow, and they're making money off of you. You are the product,
sure,
because now they have that information, and that can be monetized in a number of ways.
Absolutely.
And people need to know about that privacy aspect. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a caller in on this really quick. The number is 210-614-8980 as we talk about genetic testing. And Kathy is here. Kathy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
I just wanted to share my story. So I took the testing about maybe a year or two ago, and a family member had brought it up while I was talking to her, and she had said, oh, well, we're part Italian. And I go, oh, yeah, let me check the app, and let's see if we have a cousin in Italy. So we pressed the app and all these buttons, and, of course, we didn't show anything. But then I showed someone that I share 25% DNA with. And after researching him and looking him up in Facebook and Instagram, everything, I find out who he's from, the same town I'm from. Mm-hmm. He went to high school with my siblings. And, well, it ended up being that I had a half-brother that me and my siblings just didn't know about.
Right.
And we called our father and we're like, hey, like, who is this kid? Like, well, he's much older than us. I was like, who is this guy? And he goes, I have no idea. And it ended up, like, his mother and my father were high school sweethearts, and she married someone else, and he took someone else's name. But the thing is that this service ended up emailing him, and he had no clue either. And so it said, like, oh, you share 25% with Kathy. And it's just,
wow,
it was just like a crazy thing. And we
and so, Kathy, are you, like, have you gotten closer to this individual?
We just chatted once or twice on Instagram, but he's still going through the whole shock because,
right,
like, he is, I'm just giving you a name, Juan, blah, 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 the fourth. So, like,
wow,
even his father didn't know he wasn't his child.
So, Kathy, thank you so much for your call, because your story shows us that these things can be very disruptive. Let me go to Katie Stoll pretty quickly here, your genetic counselor. Is this kind of a thing that you hear about?
I do hear stories about family secrets being revealed through these types of tests, but my focus as a genetic counselor is more on the health implications of genetic testing and family history. And
and that's also very weighted and can be mind-blowing.
Yeah, there's some heavy information that can come from these at-home tests. I think a concern to many genetic counselors and other healthcare professionals with some of these direct-to-consumer tests as well is that people often don't recognize the limitations. While they're delivering, like tests like 23andMe, delivering some health information, it's quite limited in what it's reporting on. And I think that when people are taking these tests with real concerns about a health condition and wondering if there could be an inherited genetic component to a condition that runs in their family, it would be important to really be sure that the test you're taking is equipped to answer that question. And oftentimes these tests don't answer that question as completely as people may think.
So people have to bring some understanding of the limitations of these tests. Understand that we're talking about probability and not certainty when it comes to talking about possible getting cancer or having Alzheimer's or all these other complicated medical conditions that we have. There's no one single gene that sort of tell you for many conditions what's out there. But people are taking these tests and they're getting answers and they're trying to figure out, what does this mean? What do I do with this information, and how to move forward with this? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. We invite your phone calls to tell us your stories. Number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Companies like 23andMe, Ancestry, FamilyTree, DNA, they're growing in popularity. In 2017, more people took genetic ancestry tests than in all of the previous years combined. we're taking these tests, we're getting this information. Many of us don't really know what we have, and some of us are still trying to process that. Got a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Dr. Jason Morrow is here. He is a bioethicist at the UT Health San Antonio. And so, Dr. Morrow, it's great to have you back, sir. And tell us, what is your concern about these tests?
Well, thanks, David. I'm really shocked by the caller's account. I mean, it's a touching story. It's got some pretty cool narrative features, finding a lost family member. But did I hear that the company emailed the half-brother in question and like sort of pulled them into the story? If I contacted a company looking for my own genealogy, I don't know, does that also just give up my privacy that the company can go reaching out to the other people that are found to be connected to me? There may be personal narratives there that I don't want shared. So I'm really concerned about the privacy that these companies may or may not respect.
Let me go to Bonnie Petrie. You have some knowledge about
this. I do. So when you take a test at Ancestry or 23andMe, you can opt in or out of matching. If you don't want people to see that you're their cousin or not their cousin, you can opt out of that. If you opt in, then anybody can see that they're related to you, and you're going to come up as a match. And if you're a half-sibling match, that's going to show because they show how much DNA you share. They do not generally directly email you and say, hi, John, you have a new sister, but they will say you have new matches. They'll send you occasional emails that say you have new matches to alert you to go look.
So the company, we're throwing around 23andMe, but we say there's multiple companies, but you have to have signed up and taken part in the test.
Right.
Now you're part of their database.
Right.
Now someone else takes the test and you can be matched. If I have never taken this company's test, then I would not be in that database.
Right.
And that match would not have happened.
Right. So so going in, you know that you may get matched, but you can also opt out of matching.
Right. But there's a lot of, it's confusing, it's complex. There's a lot of stuff you got to click through, and a lot of people just click on stuff these days, terms of service, privacy concerns. So Dr. Morrow, do you think people are signing up for these things, not really understanding what they're signing up for?
Well, your genome is vast, and we only understand a part of it. But somebody else has access to your entire genome, and they've got it digitally stored, which is cool and interesting, and I might be able to find some powerful parts of my family's history. But I worry about the ability to secure that information, and I worry about the motives of the people who now have full access to it. These are companies with a profit motive, and they have an incentive to behave well in the sense that they want to have good press and not be perceived as a bad actor. But they have an incentive to get more customers and to hawk their wares. So I worry that that they can sell things with an attractive story, an attractive model, put it all in a bow, and make it seem like it's a fun thing. You look at their websites and their marketing, everybody's smiling and having a good time. Of course, they wouldn't advertise people having a bad time. But I do worry about what is their focus on security and privacy. And even if they talk big about it, how good can they really be at it? I mean, my financial information was hacked, you know, in the past. And we see things in the news about other data that even if it's encrypted gets accessed. Medical information is private. And I think that's what we need to be concerned about. Even if your incentive is to look in your own family history, this is medical information that can influence your future illness and future decisions that you may face, and I worry about privacy and security.
Right, that's our goal today, is to help people understand the privacy concerns and other complications that arise from taking these home tests. You can say that they are a tool, and they are a tool, but you know how to use that tool, that's up to individuals. And so let's go to another caller, 210-614-8980. Pauline, hi Pauline, welcome to The Source, you're on the air.
Hi. Pardon. For me, I did 23andMe, and I knew growing up that there was something more than just being German and Spaniard Mexican. And so when I took the test, I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised at the same time to find about 4 to 5% Native Mexican, indigenous Mexican. And that when I brought it up to an uncle of mine who has done genetic history, family tree thing from my dad's mother's family, that he's like, that's impossible, we're Spanish. And I'm like, no, but it really is interesting when you find out stories, especially coming from anyone that's been colonized by Spain.
Right. I'm going to go to another caller who's got a similar point. And Jody, thanks for calling into The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah. So along the same lines, I feel like I'm in my 40s, and my generation, we were taught to, the previous caller's uncle, to associate ourselves with our European heritage. And I think that was partially due to racism and classism. And, I was always taught to identify myself as Hispanic. And when I did the Ancestry.com, I found out that I was more than 50% indigenous American. And, I think that that's a testimony to what the Catholic Church and what, the Mexican or American governments have done to take away our cultures and our languages. And I was wondering if any of your panelists had any suggestions on how someone like me could go out about finding which tribe, I think that's something that's pretty ubiquitous to the community here in San Antonio and South Texas.
All right, Jody, thanks for a call. And your story resonates a lot with many folks here in San Antonio. They see themselves as Mexican-American, but they don't really identify that they're actually indigenous people from this area. They're not from the Mexico where the border starts at the Rio Grande. They are from here, this land, this earth. And so, and I think that's an important narrative that people are beginning to embrace more and more frequently. But Bonnie, to his question about understanding more about his native roots.
Well, first let me start with North America is Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And there are no ethnicities for those countries except for the indigenous populations. So if you come up American, that means you're descended from indigenous people. Most Mexicans are going to come up indigenous and from the Iberian Peninsula, which is Spain, Portugal. And so there is no Mexican. Some people are surprised. Hey, I'm Mexican. I'm not coming up Mexican. That's not a thing. As far as indigenous populations go, they don't have a very large database of Native people. Not a lot of Native Americans have taken the test. So there's not a lot to compare to. So they can say generally, you're from an indigenous population. Generally, it's North American or it's Mexican from this area of Mexico. But they haven't yet been able to drill down to the tribal level.
Right. But to this issue of a genetic health related concerns, Katie Stoll is a genetic counselor, executive director of the nonprofit Genetic Support Foundation. Can you tell us more about what you do and the type of people that you interact with and what their concerns are?
So genetic counselors typically have a master's degree specific in genetic counseling and meet with patients and families about all types of concerns related to genetics and health. In San Antonio, there are a number of genetic counselors working in the area of hereditary cancer risk assessment and in obstetrics and pediatric care.
So when should someone reach out to a genetic counselor?
So I would say, there's a lot of highlighting of tests like 23andMe with these health reports. And I think that, makes these tests attractive. People want more information about their health and are seeking these tests out. But I really can't emphasize enough how limited these tests are in terms of what information they're giving about specific health conditions. For example, I guess back to an earlier kind of Bonnie's point about her raw data file, these tests are not doing a whole genome sequence. They're looking at specific, what we call single nucleotide polymorphisms or SNPs. And with the health reports, they're reporting out some of these single genetic changes that have been associated with certain genetic conditions. And the reports that they're issuing to people purchasing these tests, these variants have been validated. But in the raw data file, those variants have not been scrutinized. And so when people are taking these raw data files to try to gather more health information through typically these third-party programs, they are often finding pretty alarming information about specific health conditions that in many cases is wrong. We know that in follow-up studies of genetic mutations or variants that are reported out through some of this raw data, up to half of the time, these variants are not confirmed through testing in a clinical laboratory. Further, tests like 23andMe really emphasize that this is not a test for medical decision making. So even though they're providing all these health reports, their statement is that this is not for medical decision making. It's for entertainment, and that any test results that come up from this should be confirmed, or you should discuss them with your healthcare provider.
So, Katie, have you done one?
No. I haven't done a 23andMe test. But what I would encourage people, if you are coming into this testing because you're curious about your ancestry, you're wanting more information just in general, you don't have you have questions, I would really encourage you to look at the privacy policies and the terms of use and make sure you're feeling comfortable with how the companies plan to use your information. If you're going into this testing because you have a specific question about a health concern, for instance, if you're worried that breast cancer or colon cancer runs in your family, or you're worried about Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease, I'd really encourage you to seek out counseling from a healthcare professional, your physician, or from a genetic counselor who can help, I think, put that concern into better context and perhaps can guide you to a test that's going to more appropriately answer that question for you.
And so go to a medical professional and get the test done, or continue to use a at-home testing kit, Katie?
I think if you've got a specific question and about a specific health concern in your family, I think seeking out counsel from a genetic counselor would be very beneficial to do before you seek any testing, so that you can understand more of the limitations of specific tests, and also maybe what tests might provide you information to answer the questions that you're seeking.
We know that the FDA has now given approval to 23andMe to do market their product as a cancer screening device. 23andMe is now marketing it, has made a breakthrough, its claims in helping people figure out if they're at high risk for diabetes. FDA is relaxing some of the rules for other at-home tests to do more home diagnostic type languaging. Are you concerned, Katie?
I'm concerned about the way that this testing is rolling out for a number of reasons. I think one is that I'm worried that people will be falsely reassured by their test results. For instance, the 23andMe test, and if you're reading the fine print, it's very clear, but it is looking at three specific variants in the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes. But it's not infrequent for genetic counselors to see people who say, I've had my BRCA testing done, even though I had breast cancer when I was 30, or I have this strong family history of breast and ovarian cancer. They may think they've had complete testing when really they've had a very limited look at these two specific genes for three markers, when it may be very much more likely that they'd have a variant elsewhere. The other concerns I share with Dr. Morrow are regarding privacy, and I think you made this point that with these tests, just like with Facebook, we're not just the customer, we're the product, and our data is valuable and is what and is part of the business strategy for these companies. More than selling genetic testing, they are interested in the genetic data.
Right. And some ask the question, how long before health insurance is going to be, how much you pay for health insurance is going to be pegged to what these results are. We're talking about genetic testing. A lot of these home kits, they're very popular. People are getting results. Some people are very reassured. Some people are being thrown for a loop by what they're finding. Call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the growing popularity and availability of genetic testing. What are you made of? Can we really dig down deep enough to get some serious answers, actionable information that can help you? If you got a question or comment, have you done an at-home genetic test? What did you do? How did you decide to go about it? What was the trigger that made you say, yeah, I want to do this? And what kind of results did you get? And were they unexpected? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. Lots of ways to talk about this. We've been talking about family surprises, but really we're focusing a lot on what it means for our health concerns. We got an email from Sarah. 23andMe showed that my sisters and I had two copies of a gene that would mean a hereditary disease. We went to our doctors and ended up getting a full genetic testing done. Two of us have the condition and one is a carrier for it. My sister and I are now getting medical treatment for this disease, and we probably wouldn't have found out until we were much older and the disease could be causing symptoms. My family is very thankful that we took the 23andMe test. Now, Bonnie Petrie, you're a TPR bioscience and medical reporter. What do you think of Sarah's email?
I think, you know, ideally, we're all taking this test, and that's how it should work. It alerts you to concerning information, and what do you do with it? Go to the doctor, get confirmation, get testing, and have them talk you through it, because it sounds like what they discovered was something that they needed to have dealt with.
And Katie Stoll, you're a genetic counselor. Is this a roadmap on, yeah, they did it right?
Yeah, I certainly think there are situations where this testing may reveal something that a family has no idea is present in their DNA and can provide information that can be beneficial towards somebody's health.
You know, but they're like, I'm going to get a medical test of these things and see if I'm at risk for diabetes. I mean, I can tell you pretty much if you live in San Antonio, you're at risk for diabetes. You know,
yeah.
It's just, you know, I don't need a test to tell me that. And I should exercise, I should eat right, and I should make sure that I have good sleep habits. These things are what's going to decide what my future health looks like.
Yeah, I think that this this new announcement this week that 23andMe made about this new health report for diabetes risk is really interesting. It's a little bit different than some of their current health reports, and that and maybe more like some of their previous ones that's looking at single genetic changes across many, many genes and providing some assessment of the likelihood of developing type 2 diabetes. But as you point out, there are many factors that influence our risk for conditions such as diabetes. And I think that it'll be interesting to see if this is helpful or if this kind of distracts from some of the health factors that we can already change. Or really pay attention to, like weight, for instance, with diabetes.
Let's go to the phones, 210-614-8980 with Jeff. Jeff, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. First time on the air. My question will tie into both. I first found out through Ancestry that I had a half-sister, so we're still trying to work through the disclosure to the parent that was not aware of this person. But the question primarily is affected by the 23andMe health reports. I found out that I had a variant for blindness and Parkinson's. My question is, would these variants or these reports prevent me from, like, future health insurance? Would this be classified like a pre-existing condition to where it could affect me or any others who may have XYZ issues? And then would it, you know, my overall concern is, I guess, with health insurance and life insurance, like,
Jeff, Jeff, thanks for the call. And Dr. Jason Morrow, he's a physician at bioethicist at UT Health San Antonio. What do you think?
So that's a good question, and you mentioned that before the last commercial break. So in theory, no, you shouldn't held. Your genetic information shouldn't be held against you. In 2008, Congress passed the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. That's supposed to prevent insurance companies and employers from using your likelihood of inheriting a condition against you and adjusting rates against you, and that's been in practice for now a decade. That's the reigning model. In theory, it still could, because all legislation can change as politics change. You know, insurance companies are currently unable to change the rates based on and exclude you from insurance based on pre-existing conditions. But you know, that can change too, depending on how politics rolls out and the fate of the Affordable Care Act. But in theory, you're supposed to have protection against bias or exclusion from insurance companies and employers with your genome.
Is genetic testing by your doctor, is that covered by insurance? And if it's covered by insurance, do they have access to the results?
I do deal with serious illness, and I have colleagues at the cancer center and share patients there. And genetic testing is an important part of what we're calling personalized medicine.
Let's go to another mm-hmm. caller, and let's see here. And Ted. Hi, Ted. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm finishing up a book called The Gene, An Intimate History by Siddhartha Mukherjee, who's a physician. And a couple things that were interesting in the book. One was that a single gene can cause multiple issues or conditions, whereas other times it requires multiple genes or multiple factors, including genetic predisposition, before something becomes apparent. And also, the interaction between the environment and our genome can affect whether or not we come up with a condition, too. It's just an excellent book. All right, I highly recommend it.
Thank you, Ted, for that. So, Bonnie Petrie, you're the TPR Bioscience and Medicine reporter. Do you think that most people who are taking part in these tests understand what they're getting into?
No, I don't. I don't. I think some do, a very small percentage. I think most don't, that they do it for fun. But to the point that he brought up and you've brought up and both our guests brought up over the last 5 minutes or so, just because you test at risk for something or you don't test at risk for something doesn't mean you're in the clear. First of all, as the caller mentioned, there's genetics and epigenetics, how genes express when they interact with each other and the environment. And you may or may not have the environmental triggers that cause your at-risk gene to express. But if you don't come up with a BRCA gene for breast cancer or at risk for diabetes, does not mean you're not at risk for those things, because we know so little about our genome and how our genes work and work together. So, you know, you can take these and you can talk to your doctor, but in the end, you still have to live a healthy lifestyle if you want to stay healthy.
All right. And Katie Stoller, I would love to hear more about what you think about how insurance companies could be using this type of information, maybe in the future, or concerns about that, to make sure that people aren't discriminated, but with the results.
So, I mean, just going through the current terms of service and privacy policies for 23andMe, as of today, they say that they wouldn't sell your information to or provide your information to insurance companies. But you're also signing on with this agreement that you are beholden to whatever changes may happen down the line. And of course, I think there's a concern that insurance companies would be interested in this type of information. I think to Dr. Morrow's point, there are some protections with GINA around health insurance and employment, but this direct-to-consumer testing is a little bit different, and also even with genetic testing that's happening in the healthcare and in the clinic, we know that there are limitations in the protections regarding insurance discrimination. For instance, that GINA doesn't extend protection to life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance.
That's significant.
Yeah.
So, but you talk about these agreements. You know, we have terms of service, and people click on these things all the time. We're conditioned not to really read these things. And then there's a privacy, and then there's a medical one, and there's all sorts of research ones. I understand it's hundreds of pages combined when you sign up for these types of testing, and they're interlocking and self-referencing and very difficult to follow. So, Dr. Morrow, do you think as a bioethicist that these agreements should be made more clear?
Well, if the terms of service for something that contains medical information, I think, is alarming. I'm a fan of context, of having anything related to medical information occurring in the context of a relationship and a dialogue with somebody who's got perspective and expertise. And that's why I'm a fan of establishing relationships with genetic counselors. And frankly, and I'm thinking through this as we talk, I think even before you go to 23andMe, if you're just looking for your genealogy, I would talk to your doctor. And if your doctor is not somebody who's informed about this stuff, then get a reference to a genetic counselor. Do some reading online to learn more about the context. And I really like establishing a relationship, particularly if you are interested in your future medical decisions, whether you have a condition or are at risk for it, then I think that needs to, any information needs to be found in the context of a relationship. And that's just highlighted by how cumbersome these terms of agreement are. You really have to have a professional.
All right, we're taking a break, and I think also, and I'll get your response to this when we come back from the break, Bonnie, but when you do this type of testing, maybe you should have someone who knows a lot about genealogy tell you about these things as well, and someone who has seen a lot when it comes to family situations. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the pros and cons, the ins and outs, the things to look out for, and the possible benefits of home genetic testing. These sites are very popular. These kits are just everywhere now. And so they even have they're advertising towards kids. We got an email from Chelsea. She says, I've seen ads where 23andMe, they've been marketing their test towards children. I would love to hear what your panel thinks about this marketing strategy and what parents should consider. They have a TV commercial with cartoons about the Grinch. Discover the Grinch's DNA story. That seems a little peculiar to me. Bonnie Petrie, are you comfortable with that?
No. And that's just a personal feeling. My daughter's 13, and you know, I'm in all the databases, all of them. I put her in none of them, and that's got to be a choice she makes when she's an adult if she wants to do that. But as it stands now, yeah, I'll pass.
And Dr. Morrow, do you think that by targeting children this way that these companies are playing the long game? They really want to get the next generation very comfortable with this type of technology and also get them comfortable with releasing this information to the public.
Oh, yeah. Get them while they're young. They're a good customer. They've got money. Their parents have money. And I don't want to be, you know, too pessimistic or grim, but I do think that it's somebody who can appreciate all the risks and possible consequences and how information can affect them. You know, even in the context of a medical decision where you're looking for evidence of a heritable disease, you really want to bring a kid on to that decision and think through, to help them think through, well, if I find the result, how is that going to affect my identity and my future? So I'm very anxious and nervous about marketing to kids. I think it's, again, you know, I've got a little bias here that I think that the profit motive can be somewhat corrosive when trying to sell this type of service. And I think kids are kind of easy prey. So parents have to be the gatekeepers, and they have to be very thoughtful about the unintended consequences.
Katie Stoll, you're a genetic counselor. Should parents get their children tested and then keep that information private?
No, I think the medical community has really steered away from genetic testing of children unless there is a reason to test them that will benefit their health in some way during childhood. And the reasoning for this is that we really feel it's important to protect the child's autonomy so that they can make decisions about what information they may want to know at some point down the line. And I think even more with these direct consumer types of tests, I think we really have to be considering the privacy of these children and what's at risk for that as well.
Another caller. Let me go to Gary. And Gary, welcome to The Source. Gary, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I'm curious as to whether you all are able to say among the vendors that offer these services, you know, this product, are there any that, as far as what is publicly known, are superior to the others or the ones you should be wary of?
Okay.
You know, to help someone choose among the companies which one to use.
All right. Thank you, Gary. So are there any differences at Coke versus Pepsi here, or One's Mr. Pibb. What do we got here, Bonnie?
It's all about the database, right? So if you're doing it for genealogy, genetic genealogy, you're going to do Ancestry because their database is 10 million people, and you're going to get the most matches so that you can do the most accurate work in building your tree, and your ethnicity estimates should be more accurate, but they're still estimates, by the way. Everybody expects that it's going to be 100% accurate. Ethnicity is an estimate, but the bigger the database, the better the estimate. 23andMe also has a 5 million person database, so you're going to get good matches there and a decent ethnicity estimate. Also the option for health reporting, but the smaller ones, MyHeritage, FTDNA, you know, you're hit or miss as far as if there's work you want to do from your results, like genealogy.
The entry level item that got a lot of people interested in these tests was finding. You see the commercials all the time. I thought I was German. I'm really right. Italian, or sure. or whatever. And you brought it up in the very beginning of the program. Talk about we're Americans. Americans.
Right.
We're a mix of all sorts of stuff. But so how is this working internationally? I mean, how are they going to sell?
So
if you live in China, I'm Chinese,
right.
You know?
So South Asia, 23andMe wanted to get better, more differentiated results for the American South Asian population. So they started handing out tests in South Asia for free so that they could build up their database to get it more specific. So that's how that works. But interestingly, for me, I never knew that I had Slovak heritage. It showed up in my test, and I was like, what is this? And then I did the genealogy work and got the paper trail to back it up. So sometimes these tests give you a hint in your genealogical research on a direction to go in, and sometimes the paper trail leads you to the DNA. So
I'm just curious if I'm 100% human or not. Let's go to Rosemary. She's called in. And Rosemary, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I was curious. For Christmas, I received the Nat Geo Gene 2.0 kit. Now, I don't have my results back yet, but I'd like to know, have you heard any feedback? The only thing I do know is they do not give it to law enforcement.
All right. Rosemary, thank you for the call. We're going to take on law enforcement issue in just a second, but can you answer Rosemary's question?
I haven't done Nat Geo. It's fine. I'm sure it's fine. Most of them are fine. I don't know anything specific about that one, though.
So she brought up law enforcement.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Rosemary. So this is, we've read about these cases, cold cases that have been cracked by looking at these databases,
sure.
getting a sample from a suspect, you know, picking up his trash and finding and testing it and finding out, hey, you know, it could be the guy. So Dr. Jason Morrow, as a bioethicist, what are your concerns about using this type of technology to solve these crimes?
Gosh, I think it's kind of cool. on the one hand, the cold cases that are found, the sort of crowdsourcing a genome to find connections to track somebody down. I think once it's if there's information that it's in a database, you know, I don't think that it should be any less legal for the police or the FBI to use information to solve a crime than it should be legal for the companies and their user agreements to use that information for their own company to develop tools or to even sell it to insurance companies if that's in the fine print. So I think it's a good motive. I could also see it being used for bad. You know, the government's not always right. And then how does the government protect that same information that they've found or cultivated? So, you know, for me, it's a little early to say because I've only seen this on the scene fairly recently.
So it's not lock solid. We always got to be careful about data, who's handling the data, making sure the data is clean, and who's handling evidence along the way. So Bonnie Petrie, just because these results are, we need to make sure that everything's well connected.
Sure. So even to get access to these databases, law enforcement, they have to get warrants like they would for anything else. And now it's in the terms of service of the companies that do work with law enforcement. So you know
So they're able to connect the dots because if I have a cousin that entered into this database, they bought one of these things, they got the swab, they went ahead and did it, and now that and they got my evidence from the crime scene, and they can look at that and say, hey, it turned up a positive for this relationship, and they can look at the relationship of that individual and see who's the suspect.
So, so they built a DNA profile from whatever DNA sample they have, and they put it in a database like GEDmatch. And so it'll come up with matches. Those are your DNA cousins, your genetic cousins. And if you have a first cousin, you know how closely the cousin is related to you by the amount of DNA you share. So if you have it come up as a second cousin, then you share great-grandparents. So then you start building the tree from there.
Right.
So you build down from all the sets of great-grandparents of the one person who you know who it is and build it down to all the cousins that might be in the right age range, in the right location when the crime was committed. And then you have to do further investigation after that.
It sounds like we've only scratched the surface of this technology and what this technology can do. Katie Stoll, a genetic counselor, how advanced can we get with this type of stuff?
In terms of health information?
Health information, yeah. I mean, can this really predict my future health?
I mean, I think that we're seeing, this is a big business. We're seeing a lot of companies coming into this that are offering, I think, more comprehensive types of health screens for conditions, cardiac conditions, cancer conditions. And so I think we're going to see that continue to grow. How that will play out in terms of how much health is benefits from this information, I think remains to be seen. To date, we don't have really good evidence that says that health behaviors, that overall population health is improved by just knowing genetic information. So I'm interested to see how things develop as people have more access to their genetics and how it relates to health.
Really quickly, in 30 seconds, Dr. Morrow, where do you see this going with bioethics? Where should we be paying attention?
If you're talking broadly about where this is going, it's going very great places. The promise of personalized medicine, where your medications and treatment plans and your nutrition can be tailored to how your body processes and metabolizes not only nutrition but medications, that's the future. We just have to be very careful about the steps we take to get there and who our partners are. And we have to include genetic counselors and physicians in our dialogue to make more informed choices.
Dr. Jason Morrow is a bioethicist at the UT Health San Antonio. Katie Stoll is a genetic counselor at Genetic Support Foundation. Bonnie Petrie is a bioscience and medical reporter for Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.